You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 597, recorded for April 23rd, 2019. Summer STEM Plus. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. We're so happy today to have joining us Kristen Nickelbein from St. Mark in Eau Claire to talk about a presentation she's going to be giving at the Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit over in Wisconsin Dells this summer. Hack Outreach Summer STEM Plus Camp. You're not going to want to miss that conversation. You're not going to want to miss the conference either. We've got some news from Tech and from Wells. MLC Day is coming up. Picks of the week. Sally talks about Chrome. I talk a little bit about a new Bible study tool you might want to install on your phone or create a shortcut in your browser. Ministry resources from Concordia Publishing House. We've talked about them in the past and their nice catechism online tool. Lots of community feedback and so much more. Stick with us. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, episode 597. We're recording this, I think, just double-check my dates again, April 23rd, 2019, a regular Tuesday episode. Joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon. Happy to be joining you. Happy for our topic today.
Jumping right in there. No
right.
Chit-chat today, huh?
No, I'm just looking at this... these notes and getting more and more excited as we counted down and got ready to record because we have a great interview to share today. So I'm excited for that.
Excitement is one word. I have some work to do between now and our June conference. So, and I think now you do too. You kind of talked yourself into a job.
Yeah, we were we're alluding to the Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit that's happening in June 25th through 27th. Check your calendars, make sure it's in the right spot, and be sure to be there. It's going to be in Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari Resort. And Martin, you're a speaker at the event. What is your sectional on? Do you remember the topic?
That's part of my issue. I've got to look that up. I think it's a paper, you know, the paperless myth.
Awesome.
Trying to create that paperless experience. So looking forward to that. There's a lot of new things that have come on the scene in the last year or two since I've done this kind of presentation. So I'm looking forward to that part. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that'll be great. I'm actually now going to be presenting on MyWells Cloud, which is something near and dear to every called worker's heart, I'm sure. And
right.
It's a bonus.
It will be after this session that
yeah,
you're giving.
For sure.
So get up close and personal with your MyWells Cloud. But that's not the topic for the day. Every so often, we try and bring on one of the speakers for the conference just to generate interest and give you a little sneak peek at what you might expect if you were to attend that session. And this week we had a chance to sit down with teacher Kristen Nickelbein from St. Mark in Eau Claire, where the title of her session is Hack Outreach Summer STEM Plus Camp. So we asked her about all those words in that title to figure out what was up with her presentation. And this is another one, Sally, that I think you can't miss, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited. The date's getting closer, and the more we talk to these folks, the more I want to sign up for. So
right?
Yeah, be there in Kristen's session. You're gonna get excited too.
So let's listen to our little chat with Kristen and a little behind the scenes look at what's coming up for her presentation on Hack Outreach. Joining us today is Kristen Nickelbein from St. Mark in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the technology director there. Thank you for joining us, Kristen.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you today.
Really happy you could take a little bit of time out of, I'm sure, a busy month and a couple months probably there for you as well.
You bet.
I wanted to include you in some of our conversations around our Education Technology and Leadership Summit as you're one of the presenters there.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into your topic and some of the other related stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do there at St. Mark, Family life, hobbies, hopes, dreams, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Sure. Yep. So like you said, I'm called to be a teacher and technology director here at St. Mark. I mostly work with the middle grades here at St. Mark's, so it's actually fourth through sixth grade that I teach, but I do teach technology in the lower grades. And this is actually my first year teaching back in the ministry. I taught for a few years back when I was first assigned coming out of MLC, and stayed home, raised my kids, and now they're all in school full time. So here I am again, serving the Lord and loving it. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we are excited. We were especially excited about the title of your session that you're doing at this mm-hmm. summer's EdTech League Conference. It's titled Hack Outreach, Summer STEM Plus Camp. And so lots of intriguing things there in the title. I thought maybe we'd start talking about the outreach angle first. What led you to try this as an outreach effort?
There were kind of a few key drivers, the first of which was we identified a need in our community and an opportunity to provide a service to the people in our community. The public schools in our area had a STEM program that was very well received. In fact, you pretty much had to have an in at the school where it was being hosted to be able to get into that class. And I thought, you know, what a great opportunity for us, because there's many people that are being turned away who are interested in STEM education. And so we have an opportunity to serve the community by providing a program for them. That was kind of the instigator of the whole idea. And from there, you know, we thought, well, what a great opportunity to allow our kids here at St. Mark network with the other kids in the community, build some relationships, and, you know, hopefully then if they're looking for a church or a school down the road, they already have some people here, some familiar faces, and hopefully some friends. So, you know, that was kind of another big thing behind it. And then also just to kind of build awareness in the community for us, you know, for let people know we have a school, we have a church, who we are, what we teach. Because of course, you know, we begin and end the day with devotion and in song, praising God and sharing what we know about our faith and our love and what our Savior did for us. So,
excellent. So there was a need there in Eau Claire, and you saw it and capitalized on it. What kind of interest did it generate from the community? How long have you been doing it, and what kind of interest have you
Sure. got? This year, we're going into our third year. So the first year, we kind of had a theme focused around creation. We are very pleased with the ratio of community members to school and church members we had. We actually had more people come from our community than were members of our church. So there was clearly an interest and a need, and just really a great response that we had. Then last year, our second year, we had a theme of Mythbusters, and we actually exceeded capacity. We set a limit for what we thought would be the best amount. We actually had people walking in the day before saying, "Can we please be a part of your program?" and had a hard time turning them away. So we actually exceeded what we initially had planned on having at our camp. So I think I was going to look up the numbers, but I think last year we served around 60, 70 kids.
Awesome. Neat. And this is free of charge, or is there charge associated?
There is a cost associated with it. We did ask that so that we could, you know, get the materials. And also we hired MLC students, pre-service teachers who are in STEM fields, you know, STEM focused at MLC to come and help us teach. And we wanted to be able to pay those teachers because they were taking a week out of their summer, kind of their bread and butter time to make money to be able to attend MLC. So we wanted to be able to pay the teachers too. So we did ask for It was you know, between $60 and $80, depending on if they got in on the early bird or not. But we did also offer scholarships. So we had members who came forward who were willing to pay for students who, you know, might not be able to come otherwise. And we had a handful of students take advantage of that opportunity as well.
Okay, so it was pretty much cost neutral to your school?
Yeah, well, for the first year, we actually ended up ahead, and we were able to use the extra money that we brought in to purchase some robotics materials so that our school could have a robotics team. So this year now we started a competitive robotics team using some of the extra leftovers from our STEM camp. And we also have used the robotics at STEM camp, and that has been a really neat program for us.
That's awesome. Maybe shifting then to the tech side of things, what kind of things do you do at STEM Plus Camp, and does it require a lot of bandwidth?
That was a question we had initially, and a good question. So first of all, you did mention STEM Plus Camp, and sometimes we just forget to say the plus, but I did want to point out to you the reason that we chose to call it STEM Plus Camp, and then I'll answer your question. The plus on the STEM Plus was we talked to people in our area and said, hey, we're going to have a STEAM camp. And they said, STEAM, what's that? So they didn't really know what STEAM was. And so we added a STEM Plus to kind of get people to say there's a little bit more to it. And not only is it including the arts, but it also includes the message of Jesus as our Savior. So that plus was intended to be provocative, to make you wonder, what is that plus about? And so then we can tell them. So back to the question you asked on the tech side. Like I mentioned, we had the VEX Robotics, which the kids loved. We kind of did breakout groups for robotics. We tinkered in doing some 3D modeling. We did some SketchUp, some Tinkercad, a lot of Google stuff. We did coding. So the first year we did some programming of the Mars rover using Scratch. We learned about algorithms. We tracked sharks, virtual beacons. So primarily we used Chromebooks and robotics, and we did some off, and we did some, you know, technology related off screen activities too, to kind of build some of the skills and the framework for the technology as well.
So it didn't require a sophisticated computer lab or, you know, something that would be more dedicated to it. You could kind of piece things together as needed to meet the needs of the program.
Yeah, and actually we had some iPads on hand, so we did one activity where we used there's a Google app you can get for iPad to like record sounds and things like that. So yeah, whatever you have in hand, I mean, capitalize on that and use it to help, you know, fit your plan.
So if somebody didn't have access to MLC and wanted to do this, and, you know, some of the experts, so to speak, there, it'd really take a lot of tech savvy or brainy teachers to pull this off, or are there other roles that could be filled by non-STEM Jedi type people?
Yeah, you bet. I will say, you know, I went to MLC, so I do have that education background, but my concentrate was in none of the STEM fields. I'm actually a language arts girl. So the fact that I'm able to do this means that anyone who can pull off VBS can pull off this STEM camp, because it really is a lot like a VBS. But, you know, it has a little bit more of the, you know, the STEM fields that are incorporated in. And so if you can coordinate a STEM camp or a VBS, you can coordinate a STEM camp. We took advantage of lay members in our congregation, because you need people to help with snacks. We used some of our in-service teachers, like I mentioned, the MLC pre-service teachers, who are kind of our subject matter experts. But really the curriculum that I had designed, I spent a lot of time making sure that whoever's teaching the curriculum would feel comfortable and, you know, provide resources for them to be able to do the background research so that they could understand the science or the technology or the engineering process and that sort of thing behind the lessons that I had designed. I had family members come. We had some field experts come, just whatever resources that you can kind of put your heads together as a congregation and come up with, great. They can come, they can help. There's lots of opportunities to help, but of course, not all necessary. You don't have to have all those people to be able to pull it off either. So it's pretty flexible in that way.
What do you think is the draw around STEM in a community? Is it the fact that this is a wide open field and something parents want to get their kids involved with, or something else?
Mm-hmm. I think a big factor is the media. I think parents are seeing the media talking about how careers coming up are going to be, vastly STEM-focused careers. And they want to make sure their kids are future ready. And the other thing about it is the kids love it, especially the engineering side of it. In a traditional classroom, they don't get to do much with engineering, but engineering is really kind of it comes natural to kids. They're natural players. They're natural, naturally interested in like solving types of problems that we present to them in the camp. So I think they just love it. And we do lots of crazy things. Last year I bought a couple of watermelons and we saw how many rubber bands it took to make the watermelon explode. And the kids just had a blast with that. I had a blast with it, watching it. I didn't have to do it.
What age kids do you serve?
We take in students entering third grade through students entering eighth grade. Although, I'll tell you a little secret, we will accept the students who are just leaving eighth grade as well.
And all mixed together in one group, or do you segment the groups?
We break them down into groups of third through fifth graders and then sixth through eighth graders.
Okay.
And we've had two sections of each. We have team teachers, so we have two teachers per classroom. And we do try to keep class sizes fairly small because, of course, there's usually a lot of different things we're doing, so it's helpful to have an extra set of hands around to kind of help out.
So let's talk a little bit about your session that you'll be leading at the summit this summer at the Kalahari in the Wisconsin Dells. What kinds of things, other than the things maybe you've already shared, can the attendees expect to get out of that session?
Sure. So the plan is to talk about project management tips, some lessons that we've learned in our 2-3 years that we've done it already. We're going to talk in more detail about how to staff your camp, how to fund your camp, how to set up a registration, and share how we've done that, how to go about doing publicity, what sort of resources are available for you. And I'm actually going to share my full curriculum that I designed for the first year of our STEM Plus camp, which is on creation. And also tips for getting buy-in.
Right there.
What's that?
That's worth the price right there.
It is. It is. Yeah. And it's I actually have done this presentation before, and I had a double sectional time when I did that, so we're going to have to really move through it, but I think that everyone who comes to it is going to feel like they got their money's worth.
Martin, I want to sign up to proctor that room, okay? Let it be known I'm going to be there. So we're really looking forward to seeing you this summer, Kristen, and hearing more about STEM Plus Camp and the outreach efforts around that. Thank you for your time today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kristen. And one thing that strikes me about all the interviews we've done, Sally, is just the enthusiasm that I know these presenters are going to bring, because just in talking to us, they're really excited about the topic, and that with that excitement comes the expertise. So, I think this is another win-win.
Definitely. I think everybody has these great tech, and not just tech, ministry success mm-hmm. stories. It's happening out there all around us. And to come together at a location like this and just get to learn from people and their experiences is a really cool thing.
And this is not theoretical, you know, kind of pie in the sky stuff. I mean, they're actually doing this and they're getting results. And I think she's willing to share the resources that sounds like it could be a very doable thing for a lot of different locations.
Yeah, definitely exciting to hear her say that you'll walk away with a curriculum that mm-hmm. you can use in your STEM Plus camp and do some outreach in the process.
Right. So as Sally reminded you at the top of the show, you've got to be there to participate in these good topics. So go to wellsedtechlead.com, sign up. By the time this show comes out, the time may be running short for early bird discounts.
So one more week left.
Exactly.
Yeah. The deadline is May 1st, and you'll save $50 if you register by that date.
Right. You can see all the sessions there. You sign up for what sessions you want to attend, and there is limited seating. Some of these sessions are extremely popular, so you don't want to be left out. So I would run over there sooner rather than later. You're going to save a little money. You're going to get the sessions you want, and you're going to have a great time come June at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells. So, good deal. Again, thanks, Kristen, for taking the time and sharing with us both your enthusiasm and your expertise. So we'll look forward to seeing you in June. Let's move on to news in tech.
Yeah, and something that keeps popping up in various places for me is something we talked about on the podcast a few months ago mm-hmm. now, I think, Martin. Recently, several different vendors announced that they were going to have folding screens on their mobile devices, their mobile phones.
Right.
And Samsung is the first one out of the gate with a Galaxy Fold. This happened late last week, I believe, and immediately, almost, the reports started coming in that the screens are cracking and flickering and all kinds of problems with it. So Samsung's actually backed off on their release of the phone and mm-hmm. hopefully shoring up some of those issues. But you got to believe the others are just kind of sitting back and watching and glad that it isn't them that jumped in first and everything. So I think foldable phone screens will be, you know, more common in the future and stuff. But if you're going to pay $2,000 for it, which is the price of this Samsung phone, I'm thinking you don't want it to crack on the second day.
Right. And this whole concept of a foldable screen probably have different applications other than just, you know, foldable phone. Mm-hmm. But I think we're getting closer to this concept of a true digital notebook, you know, something that would replicate what we've all used for years, what some of us still use, and kind of a comfortable format, mm-hmm. you know, to take notes in, to get a little bigger screen when you want one and smaller when you don't. But I think the technology, not quite there yet, it sounds like.
Yep. So we'll keep following, and I'm sure we'll be seeing it before long in tech terms.
All right. So that's the news in tech. How about the news in Wells?
Well, we are zeroing in on another special event on May 1st. We've already talked about our early bird discount for EdTech Lead ending that day. May 1st is also MLC Day, mm-hmm. something that's been celebrated probably for the last 5 years or so on May 1st, a great day to pray, share, and give in regard to our undergraduate college of ministry, Martin Luther College. And MLC has put together a whole media collection where you can download different resources. They've got logos, they've got songs you can teach your students and have them record a video singing the MLC Day jingle. They've got things to use for social media posts, message prompts like an MLC Day shout out to, and you can fill in the blank. They'd love for you to send in photos, videos, post on their Instagram page or our Facebook page, hashtag MLC Day. They've got coloring books for your school. There's all kinds of resources. Just join in the fun and celebrating and sharing our College of Ministry, Martin Luther College.
They're getting good at this MLC Day thing. You were, I think, around or maybe even on campus for the first one,
first
I want to say.
Yeah.
So you started with a general idea, and I think they've kind of revved it a number of times and pretty polished at this point. A nice model if congregations or schools maybe something, you know, to imitate or replicate as well.
Mm-hmm. They have a dedicated website for it, and during the day they track the website traffic and report how many mm-hmm. visitors and from what states they're coming from. So
neat.
It's a lot of fun.
Neat. All right, that's Wells Now. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I am up first, and I'm just going to share.
Now, you don't always have to be first.
Okay,
if you wanted
Martin,
to be second, you
why
could
don't you
be
go
second.
First today?
Are you
That'd
sure?
Be
I'm
great.
Not actually ready.
I'm not sure if I can type it backwards, but yeah, go ahead.
My pick of the week is actually a website and an app. Very similar to, I think, our ministry resource, or no, maybe. I don't remember where we put Logos last week. It was either a ministry resource or something like that. But Logos 8 was out, and that's basically a Bible study aid for all shapes and sizes of Bible students, from pastor or theologian down to, I shouldn't say down to, but including just the person in the pew. But there are other alternatives, and I ran across one that I had used a while back and just kind of stumbled on again and thought, hey, this would be a great pick. Bible Hub. BibleHub.com has all the translations. In fact, I think they have NIV 84, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe I'm thinking of Logos. Logos has NIV 84, so if you're interested in the legacy NIV version. But Bible Hub has a whole bunch, NIV, NLT, ESV, KJV, New KJV. But it also has a lot of the same things that Logos does. So it has a lexicon, it has Hebrew and Greek, Strong's Concordance, topical listings, those kinds of things. And I stumbled on it because I was doing a little bit of research. I have chapel tomorrow, and I was the text is from Job, and one of the key phrases is, I know that my Redeemer lives. We're going to be singing that hymn, or the choir is going to be singing that hymn. So I want to do a little word study on the word know, Hebrew, what the Hebrew word is. And there are just a ton of great resources online to help you do that in plain English if you don't know your Hebrew, or you know, if you haven't dove deep into some of those resources. This is just a great way to find, you know, what word is used, where else it's used, how it's used, derivatives, those kinds of things. And you can really do, a kind of a deep dive, you know, in some of these words that actually are very enlightening and very revealing. That's why we require our pastors to go through many, many years of language studies to kind of get the nuance from the original language. But you have these tools at your fingertips as well, with tools like Bible Hub. Bible Hub is a website, but they also have apps. So you can download your app for iOS or for Android, so you've always got it with you. Just good tools to have around. I think when you attend Bible class, take your device along. I'm seeing more and more people do that. Nice way to kind of dig a little bit deeper, maybe stump the pastor. You know, those kinds of things are all possible. But you've got some great tools at your disposal with things like Bible Hub. Totally free, lots of different translations, parallel translations, so you can compare one against the other, which can generate discussion. Just a good thing to have around to get used to using, rather than, you know, just reading along and, you know, before you know it, you've read past a few verses and where, you know, God provided an opportunity for you to drink a little bit deeper. So BibleHub.com is my pick of the week, Sally.
Wasn't expecting you to say that it was totally free. That is not true of Logos. So.
Right. I think you can get a free, isn't there a free version of Logos?
Maybe so.
Maybe you don't get all the tools, but Bible Hub has a lot of those tools. So, and commentaries. You got to be careful. I can't vouch for all the content and all the commentaries. They have sermons and those kinds of things on here as well. So you want to be careful with some of that stuff. But definitely the language study is very useful. So
excellent.
Now, Sally, if you can, you know, wrap your head around going second.
597 times.
Right.
96 times, I think.
Well,
I
you go
first,
you go second, but when we have a guest, so.
That's true. All right. So my pick of the week is an article I found on How to Geek. Chrome.com, and it is titled How to Make Chrome Stop Offering to Save Credit Card Data. So it seems Chrome wants to save a lot of my data, but credit cards it treats very specially, and I get kind of a lit up window that I'm thinking, why do you want my credit card data, Chrome? And to turn it off, it turns out, is not that simple of a task, but this article actually walks you through, I think, three different places where you can adjust your Chrome settings to stop saving credit card data. One of them is just in the payment methods area under autofill, so you can turn off the save and fill payment methods option there. But then you can dive into something called Chrome flags, which I didn't even know existed.
Chrome slash something, right?
Slash flags, yeah. And so there you can actually disable credit card autofill ablation experiment. Isn't that a lovely name? When it's enabled, it, the autofill suggestions no longer display when accessing payment fields and forms. So I guess you need to enable the ablation experiment. I had it backwards. So, and again, they give you screenshots of everything that you need to do. There's also a Google Payments card saving checkbox and autofill credit cards that you can disable there in that section. And then finally, you can stop your credit card information from syncing to other devices in your syncing to settings. So like I said, no small task to make Google stop already, but I was able to do it in less than 5 minutes. It's not that difficult. So if you want to turn off Chrome offering to save credit card data, this is the article for you.
Yep. Firefox does the same thing. I don't know how you know, turn it off there either, but you'll notice it, you know, quite often when you're in it, it'll turn the box yellow sometimes, or, you know, just kind of really nag you to try and get into those boxes. This is not to say that you don't always want to do that. I know with Safari on the Mac, if you've got it tied with Apple Pay, some sites are smart enough to recognize, hey, you've got Apple Pay, you want to pay with that, and the payment process is really slick. And you do want to usually pay with Apple Pay if you've got that all hooked up, because it's more secure. So it's generating a fake, or not a fake, but a temporary credit card number, so you're not sending your credit card number, you know, over the wire or whatever. So
Good tip.
Good tip. Should we move on to ministry resource?
I think it's time, yes.
I will grab that one. And we've talked about this resource in the past, maybe not under the ministry resource section, but it's Confirmation Time, which makes us think of Luther's Small Catechism. And just a reminder that Luther's Small Catechism, this is kind of in line with my pick of Bible Hub, is available online. It's available as a website and as apps. Catechism.cph.org. It's from Concordia Publishing House. Our Missouri Synod friends have put this together. Nice presentation, very mobile friendly. You don't get all of the passages per se, but you definitely get all of the questions and answers, the what does this mean, and just a great tool to have in your pocket if you're curious about or need some resources. If you're in a theological conversation and want to know what the Lutheran stance is on prayer or confession or communion or baptism or the Lord's Prayer or Ten Commandments, those kinds of things. This is just a great resource to have around. And why not have it you know, in your pocket, so to speak, and maybe even just read it as part of your daily Bible study. Just read through a section each time, and just a great refresher. Especially this time of year, as we're probably getting to the season of, if we maybe haven't even passed it for some, examination Sunday or examination Thursday or whatever it is at your congregation. But a great little resource here for free again. So that is our ministry resource for the day.
I really like it, how clean it is.
It
they
is,
use a
right?
really nice,
nice
typeset
presentation
and everything. And I'm thinking, as a mom drilling kids on their catechism work, it's great to have it in your pocket on your phone.
Exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Let's move on to community feedback.
Yeah, a couple things to share here. First up, from the Office 365 Schools group, which is now no longer on Google Plus because Google Plus has gone away, but is on groups.io. And Perry Lund is kind of the leader behind that, and Perry shared an article from ZDNet just released this week that's called Microsoft Starts Rolling Out Google G Suite to Office 365 Migration Tools. So if you happen to be bought into the Google systems and using G Suite and you decide to make a switch to Office 365, they have tools available now that will help you migrate your data from one place to the other. Mm-hmm. And apparently they had notified people they were going to be doing this second quarter, and second quarter's here, and Microsoft's delivering on their promise. So if you have that need, you can certainly check out this article and get links to where you can learn more about migration.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Next up, a message from Pastor Peter Hagen. I think this is a follow-up to our conversation last week, Martin, where we talked about video cameras and also some production-type things. He wrote to tell us that video editing with vMix is another very good option. So I had to look up vMix. It's at vmix.com. And it is production software for streaming. So if you want to produce your video, if you want to stream your video, record your video, apparently this software will do all those things for you. So I am not as up on all the pricing and things, but apparently Pastor Hagen has tried it out and gives it a good recommendation. So
just looking at their pricing comparison chart, software comparison table, it looks like there is a basic version for free. And obviously it has some limitations, but it looks like you could get at least enough to get your feet wet. But then it goes up from there. You get basic HD for $60, standard def for $150, goes to $350 for HD, $700 for 4K, and something called Pro, which I'm not sure, looks like the same resolution, but more features, $1,200. So all in all, not that bad. You can pay a lot more for this kind of software. So, and the good part is you can try it out for free and get a pretty good sense for what you're going to get. So I'm going to have to look at this. Yeah, it looks like a lot of information on their website. There's a demo video and all kinds of stuff here. So check it out.
Yeah. A couple of things to mention from the Wells Intersections Facebook group. Always good conversation happening there and people sharing interesting links. This was actually someone threw out the question, if I want to put together photo frame captioned imagery, what software should I use? What do you recommend? And there were several that I was familiar with that were thrown out. Things like Canva. We've talked about Canva a lot. You can create a free account. They have great templates and things to do all types and sizes of imagery. WordSwag, which is a mobile app, which I would guess has at least 40 to 50 fonts in it. And they're not just straight line fonts. They do curves and some symbols with them. You're just never quite sure what you're going to get with WordSwag. Mm-hmm. Lots of options and ways to represent your text over imagery. Someone suggested Inkscape and GIMP, both open source products that are free, that are kind of parallel to Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop. And between the two, you could do all types of vector graphics as well as more traditional image type graphics with both tools. I think both have a learning curve.
Yeah, I think both do.
But probably a great investment to make if you want to have some more high-end.
Get past that initial level, beginner
Definitely.
Level.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned Ripple. We use Ripple to produce our Wells Tech imagery that we share in social media, and I've been really pleased with it. We've been using it for quite some time now, and it's pretty easy, and they come out with new templates and designs on a regular basis. They help you post to multiple sites and things. And one thing that I don't do a lot of, but that's a real strong suit for Ripple, is they also do short little videos. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of animate what you want to announce, which is really cool, a cool effect. The one that I wasn't as familiar with, or maybe we've talked about it in the past, but I had to really do some searching and remember what it was, is called Church Motion Graphics, or CMG, which is a website that you can buy, flat still imagery as well as motions and templates and things. But they have a ton of free resources as well, Martin. So we'll throw a link in the show notes to their free resources and quite impressive gallery of options there at CMG, Church Motion Graphics.
Yeah, lots of a lot of these are Photoshop or PSD format files. So you're gonna, if you want to edit these, you're gonna have to get into some of the more advanced editing tools. But yeah, they are very professionally done. Nice.
I think GIMP would do that for
you. Yep, it would.
Awesome. All right, and then one more mention from the Wells Intersections group. It is a infographic that I thought was pretty impressive. It's posted with an article titled 15 Ways to Fail at Social Media Marketing, something we don't really want to do. So obviously they're saying this tongue in cheek, but 15 ways to fail, including things like being antisocial or ignoring your followers or messing up your automation.
Treating social media as a side project.
Yeah, that
happens.
Won't get you very far. Talking their ears off, forgetting that people buy from people, so telling your story, sharing insider information can be really beneficial in your social media marketing. So just a lot of good reminders here on this infographic. So I actually thought it was Pinterest worthy and pinned it to the Wells Tech Pinterest board as well.
Yeah, winging it is one of the 12.
We're
number
in trouble.
12. So. Yes, we're guilty once in a while, right?
No way. So that's it for community feedback.
All right, Sally, how would somebody contribute to community feedback if they were so inclined?
Well, probably the best way to do that is head over to our show notes website. That's at wellstech.wells.net, where we offer you a plethora of social icons to choose from. Up in the upper right area, you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all of those at your disposal. You can also send us a voicemail. There's a little bar in the right side column, and you can record right there from the website, and we'd love to hear your voice. And then finally, you can send us a good old-fashioned email at wellstech.wells.net.
wellstech@wells.net.
That's what I meant.
That's the one. They interpreted it correctly, I'm sure. Video of the week.
This week we're talking EdTech Lead, so why not show our promotional video for the Education, Technology, and Leadership Summit happening in June. We'd love it if you want to share that video on your social media. Be our little guerrilla marketers out there and share the good news about this event, because we think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Very short, sweet, but gives you the information you need. Mm-hmm. Sally, let's tell the good folks what we're going to do next week.
Next week, we are welcoming back Professor Rachel Feld to discuss Faithfully Connected. That's our book selection this podcasting season, and we're winding down, getting near the end of the book. We're actually talking about Chapter 8, which is about digital health and wellness. Very timely topic in this day and age when screen time can get to be excessive.
Always great to talk to Rachel, and she's been teaching this, teaching these concepts from this book to our future teachers there at MLC. So you will not want to miss that. So tune in next week for that. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed our conversation and the content. And please do reach out if you have questions, comments through community feedback. We'd love to hear you and have you join the conversation. Thanks for joining us today, and have a great week. Bye-bye.